you know, brainstorm their problems. I would do, say, their 5 or 10 main pain points, and then you would write an autoresponder that solves those specific pain points.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Today's guest will be talking about a topic that everyone knows about, but hardly anyone does. And that is the subject of creating a killer autoresponder sequence for your opt-ins so that you can actually build and nurture your email list. And to cover this topic, I went out there and had a look around and see who's doing this well. And I came across a fellow by the name of John McIntyre from dropdeadcopy.com. Welcome to the call, John.
Hey, James. Thank you.
John, I first became aware of you via another podcast that I listened to. Dan Andrews and Ian Schoen have lifestylebusinesspodcast.com. And they were talking in one of the episodes I heard somewhere, it may have been there or Tropical MBA, that they felt a need to build an autoresponder sequence for their email list. And I think they interviewed you about it and you were the one who actually assembled it. Is that true?
Yeah, correct.
Right. So what I think would be really useful for our listeners is, you know, we all know we should have AWeber or Office Autopilot or some kind of email capture on our website. And we know that we have to have a list and we have to have a relationship with that list, and that's where our buyers come from. And it's like an ATM. If you want to make some money, you send out an email, you make an offer, and you know all that money comes into your bank account. You can buy a big luxury ocean liner and retire for the rest of your life. Now, the bit that they struggle with, from my experience, is what do you actually send people after they've given you their details? And I think that's where you could probably step in and help us out a little bit. Maybe we can workshop this through a few of the steps that are involved in what it is that you do.
Sure. Well, so the main thing, the most important thing is basically like the offer, which really begins with the audience and figuring out the exact prospect that you want to attract, whether that's a beginner or, say, someone who's at an intermediate level or an advanced person. Like the different... depending on the person that you're trying to attract is going to change the autoresponder that you write for them.
Well, that makes sense. So when it comes to the offer, what sort of things can you offer someone in exchange for an email address? What things can you offer and which things work the best?
Okay. So number one, I think ebooks are really, really overdone. Everyone's doing them. It's the free report. It's like comes from kind of like the direct response days. And it's just everyone's doing it, so there's not much that's compelling about it anymore. So I would not even bother with an ebook. I would figure out whatever the main problems are of the target market or the target prospect. You know, brainstorm their problems. I would do, say, their 5 or 10 main pain points, and then you would write an autoresponder that solves those specific pain points or gets them on the path to solving them. You could work in an ebook in there that could be part of it, but the central idea here is that you're solving a problem, not that you give them a report.
So it's more about the solution rather than the way you deliver it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
Right. So if you're doing this multi-step problem solving, how do you actually? What do you name that? Is it a training series? Is it a mini course?
You can do. So we called it a crash course with Tropical MBA and the Lifestyle Business Podcast. So that was an easy way to digest the material. They were giving away 50 free podcast episodes, but that sounds intimidating. No one wants to just download 50 MP3 files and, you know, listen to them. It's kind of scary. So what we did is we took the 10 most, you know, interesting or most compelling ones, split that into 10 different emails and called it a crash course. So it was exactly the same thing, but we made it positioned it in a very different way that made it easier to consume.
Nice. So what actually happens when you implement something like this? And by the way, just from my own experience, when I switched from having a free report to training sequence, that was getting me people were continuing to open my emails, whereas I found with the free report, they would download the report and then they would never open another email again. So by having a multi-part promise, the commitment when someone gives the email address is that they're going to hear from you again and again, And that actually seeds the rest of the relationship better, in my opinion. Even if the opt-ins were a little bit lower in percentage, the agreement is better off for you as the product provider. So that's consistent right. with my findings. What sort of changes to results have you seen when you implement stuff like this for other clients?
So we usually get basically what you described there. It's like, so someone who downloads an ebook and then stops opening your emails after that, they're not very engaged and they're not, you know, they're kind of like a waste of a slot on the list. So you do get, I mean, in some cases you get lower subscribers, but the engagement level is so much higher that these people are opening the emails. They're more likely to buy stuff. With the Tropical MBA one we did, they had like a stock standard sidebar form where it had the little, you know, sign up to receive the 50 free episodes, you know, put your email address here and a little submit button. And so what we did, we turned that's called a one-step opt-in. So you take one step and then you're on the list. So we turned it into what's called a two-step opt-in, and which means that in the sidebar there is a link which says Tropical MBA Crash Course. So someone would click on that. That would go to another page which had, I think it was about 1,000 words of copy that explained what we were trying to do and what the offer was. And then we hid the opt-in form at the bottom of the page, which is, it's kind of like counterintuitive. People say make it as easy as possible for people to get on your list, but we actually made it harder. And email opt-ins more than doubled. So we made it harder to opt-in, and we started getting more subscribers than we were getting before, which is really interesting.
That is interesting. And I have seen research, I think it was on Unbounce, about putting the opt-in in the most relevant position, even if that is the counterintuitive below the fold. If you've done a mini sales letter to sell the opt-in and you have the opt-in right where you have the call to action, that is probably the most relevant place. And so I can understand how you got that results. And in fact, on superfastbusiness.com, I have a free training button, and that free training button gets more opt-ins than the inline form that's at the top and the bottom of my page. So isn't that interesting that we can use the two-step? And it's something that I did actually, luckily, on one of my very first affiliate sites, I had a blue hyperlined link on the homepage that said get access to the free training course, and that took people to a dedicated squeeze page because I had learnt that you have to sell an opt-in now. It's not enough just to ask for someone's email. You have to actually sell it. I've got a question about how good a free training course does it have to be? Is it? Should we have light content? Should it be amazing stuff that someone would normally pay for? Like, how good? Is there a level of goodness?
I always come back to this idea of like solve problems. So it's, I listened to one of your podcasts the other day, and you talked about how when you start making videos, when you're a beginner, it's the quality is pretty low because you just don't know how to, you don't have the right techniques or the right software or the right tools, and you get better. But the central idea here that drives the whole thing is that a problem is being solved. So you could have, like, I use text emails. I don't use HTML in my emails because it can be disabled. And I don't use images either. So my emails are just straight up text. There's nothing else in them. And you don't need to be a writer either. Like, you don't need to be anything special in the way that you write the emails. You just got to think, like, am I solving a real problem? If that's the case, then it doesn't really matter. You could be a really bad writer with bad grammar and, have typos all through it. But the person, the subscriber, most of them, their primary objective is to solve their problem. So if you're helping them with that, it doesn't particularly matter how, polished your delivery is.
Yeah, that is a great point. It is about solving a problem, and I think people will forgive the format or the delivery mechanism a little bit if it solves their problem. And I guess the greatest autoresponder writers that I've ever seen, Andre Chepron springs to mind. They just have a very conversational tone, and they really are good at addressing the situation and moving the reader to take action or to feel something. Have you had a deep background in sales writing or copywriting to be able to do this?
I mean, I've always been like a bit of a writer. I don't call myself a writer, and I'm not planning on writing a book, but I've always being the type of person that writes stuff down. But I only started writing copy earlier this year, and it's It's yeah, you said it well. Like Andre does it, the conversational type of thing. That's all it needs to be. Like just a conversation between you and the subscriber. I've done a little bit of like study copywriting and advertising and that, but I don't find I use a lot of that in the emails. What's important in the emails is that, say, like you're writing from a personal perspective. So it's from, you know, you're writing from James Schranko. Well, that's how you sign the emails as opposed to Super Fast Business. And just like Andre Chaperon does, that it's, you know, first person and it's conversational, just like you're writing a story. You know, right? You know, you're telling your friend about, you know, lunch you had the other day or whatever it is.
Yeah, this is a good point. In fact, one of my earlier interviews on internet marketing speed was with John Carlton. In fact, I think I've had him on a couple of times, and he said a good technique for people who are struggling with this is just to record yourself. Just talk as if you were having a conversation with someone and literally hit the recorder. And then whatever you say is probably a good basis for the words that you might put in an email like that. Is that a useful technique?
Sure. So if absolutely, like if, cause so a business owner is probably going to, if they were to speak to a customer or if they could get them on the phone, they're probably going to know what to say. So one way to do it would be to, yeah, write, you know, get a handful of A4 sheets of paper and write down, you know, the five biggest problems on each, you know, one problem to each piece of paper, and then get a tape recorder and, you know, just record yourself telling the customer, have an imaginary customer in front of you and tell them about the, how they're going to solve or how you're going to solve their problem or how they can solve their problem with the information that you have or whatever it is. That works really well.
Nice. Now, a technical question here. Do you deliver the emails? Are you sending the whole solution in the email itself, or do you have a call to action to drive them back to a blog or a web page of some kind? What's your preferred strategy there?
I think it depends on what sort of relationship you want to create with the list. Some people don't, like, they just want to blast the list. That's fine, and it works depending on the strategy. But my preferred way of doing it is to, like, I won't pitch or offer or sell anything for at least the first three or four emails, mainly because that's so rare these days. Everyone's trying to sell stuff, you know, especially online. So when you like don't try and sell them anything, you just talk about cool stuff, you know, you help them solve their problems, and you can hint at a solution. Now, that's another thing that we should talk about. I mean, open loops. Andre Chaperon talks about this. So you can hint at a solution, but the main thing to focus on is just solve the problems. And then when it comes time to promote something, you promote it in the context of the value you're already providing. So it doesn't come across as a pitch anymore. It comes across as you're just trying to help them out.
Right. So you will put the email there and that might be it. There's no click here or further discovery required.
Right. Yeah. So I pretty much, so it'll just be a text-based email. There might be no links in there at all. But then sometimes, like, I find it's really cool when you link out to, say, a YouTube video. So if you're on a list, I have a list in the, like, the weight loss niche. So I'll sometimes send them aspirational kind of emails trying to get them, you know, like a pep talk. And then I'll send them to a motivational YouTube video, you know, just for, you know, for a bit of fun. And I think that creates a really cool vibe because it, like, it, you stop taking yourself so seriously and it really, it gives, you know, makes you, allows people to relate to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I have two main types of emails I send, and by far the majority is the one that we'll send them to my blog where I'll embed the video. I want to get all those views. I want Google to take notice of my site being active, and I want comments and social proof. So I would take that video and embed it on my site. And again, my very first, my successful autoresponder campaign was where I'd set up like 7 or 8 different videos or screenshots on a website, and I kept sending them back in each lesson, and I was training them to keep going back to my site and to consume the information there. And at the end of each of those modules was a call to action to buy the product. And what I found was that more than half the people would buy the product before they got to the end of the sequence, which was handy. And I was able to log into AWeber and check the effectiveness of each of the messages and see which ones got the unsubscribes and which ones got the opens, and then tailor my offer. And I note with Office Autopilot, now I can A, B, C, D split test follow-up sequences, which is kind of sexy stuff for anyone interested in testing. Do you go that far into it, or do you find that most people just don't even have a sequence set up in the first place?
Yeah, I haven't gone that far down the rabbit hole yet, but most people just they need to get something up there. So you're right, they're nowhere near at that level yet.
So if I'm a brand new to this whole concept of creating an autoresponder, let's imagine I have a blog or a website, I've got an AWeber account or an Office Autopilot account, and I go out and I get my embed code and I've managed to paste that into my sidebar or wherever or into a dedicated page, and it says, you know, get my free training 7-part series or whatever. What can we do with a clean sheet of paper? What we're looking at this clean sheet of paper thinking, okay, I know that the challenges, so I'm going to list those down. I'm going to just put down my best sort of ideas about what would solve those challenges, and then I'm going to craft them into the autoresponder sequence. Do we put these into a notepad or something first and then paste them into the autoresponder, or do we just type them straight in? And how far apart do we send the emails? All these questions we have. What's the steps?
I usually start off by making an outline. So I'll write, you know, email one is usually an introduction. I like kind of set the stage. I'll tell them how often I'm going to send them emails, what the emails are going to say, like the subject lines, that type of thing. And then, so once I have the outline, say it's 10 emails or 7 emails, so 1 to 7, and first email set the stage, then number 2 becomes, you know, how to solve problem number 1, and then number 3 becomes how to solve problem number 2, and so on and down. And that's where it starts, and then I'll just split that into 7 different text files. I'll create like a template. I do my emails, so the first line on the text file will just say subject, colon, and then I'll write the subject line. And so with the subject lines, you can also do a thing where a lot of people do this. They put like a bracket around like an abbreviation of the type. So it might be bracket SFB bracket for – so SFB will be super fast business. So that would be one way to do the subject lines. And then I do the emails at 55 characters width. It keeps the – when they – so if they get into a long email, they'll scroll down. It keeps the momentum going. And then I'll copy and paste that template into the 7 different emails. And basically, I'll just write it. So I usually start, I open the email with a hook. So write something interesting, like get their attention somehow. It's just like a headline. Well, the subject line is the headline. And then the opening paragraph or two is the way to kind of get them to go, oh, wow, I have to read this. Then there's content where, you know, you're going to be solving the problem. Maybe you're linking somewhere. Maybe you're trying to sell them something. And at the end, and this is really crucial, and this is what Andre does, Andre talks about in ARM, is open loops. So when you watch like Lost or 24, any great TV show, movies do this as well, they use what's called open loops, where they will say like, oh, well, you know, next week, here's what you're going to see. Right? And movies will do this where it'll set up this story thread, and then right before you see what happens at the end of that story thread, it switches to a different scene. And we're not aware of it at the time, but subconsciously our mind's kind of thinking, what happens there? And that's what keeps us interested as the movie goes on. And so TV shows do this as well. And you can actually do this in your emails by, you know, people can, at the end of it, they can write, well, next week I'm going to tell you about X. You know, and they can be, you know, enticing that, or in a few days this, or, you know, they can start to talk about the, give an overview of a solution and overview of a problem and then hint at a solution and say, I'm going to tell you a bit more about that later. And what these things do is really create that engagement. And a lot of people won't be consciously aware of it as they read the emails, but it's going to make them want to open the emails in the future.
Yeah, so people wanting to look this up could go to check out the Zeigarnik effect, which is the research behind it. It's fascinating to use. And yeah, you can even use it within the same piece of content just to hold people's attention for the entire email, even if you don't use it to join to the next one. But yeah, it's a great thing to understand. All right, so we've got the ideas. We've done an introduction. If you were to outline the next sequences, you know, what would it look like? Is it like content, sales offer, content? Do you have a set thing, or does it change depending on what you're selling?
Yeah, I would say it changes depending on it can change on a number of things. Like, you know, who are the people? Are these cold prospects? Like, if they just found the website and signed up, or I recently did like a members autoresponder. So it was people, paid members who'd signed up, and the client wanted an autoresponder that basically kept people from, stopped them from canceling. So he had a membership, he has a membership site. And the idea was that you basically keep people hooked on the value that the site's providing them. And we did that with an autoresponder. So that will go out every, I think that's going to go out every month. And there's not going to be any, it's not really promotional. We drop a couple of hints about different things, but we don't overtly sell. So it kind of depends on what you're writing it for. But I usually go content, then email 4 or 5, I'll do a promo. But it's not a promo in the way that an internet, like a classic guru internet marketer would do a promo. It's more you do the promo in the context of value. So you talk about a problem and you start solving the problem with the content and email, or you do a video for them. And then you might say, like, here's what you got to do, or you can just buy my product and, you know, I'll do it for you. So then you presenting the product as actually solving a real problem as opposed to just trying to make some money off them.
Right, so you're actually nurturing that lifetime value.
Absolutely.
So, John, what are the biggest challenges that people have? People pay you to come and install this for them, probably because they've thought it might be a little bit difficult. What sort of challenges do you think cause that to happen?
I think number one, a lot of people don't like writing, or maybe they do like writing, but when they sit down to write, they stare at the blinking cursor, and no one really likes doing that. So I think that's one of the main challenges. People sit down and they just have no idea what to do. You know, what do they write? What do they write about? That kind of thing. But the way to solve that, the way that because I get that same thing. So I sometimes sit down and I don't know what I'm going to write, but I always, like, once again, I always come back to this problem thing. It's all about solving the problems. It doesn't particularly matter how eloquent you are about doing it. Just solve a problem. And then that kind of helps people to get past the kind of barrier. That's what I mean. That'll be the main one. Another challenge would probably be the technical side of things. It can be intimidating to kind of think, oh, I have to set up Aweber, and then how does this autoresponder thing work? How often do I send the emails? I usually do 3 days, by the way. I forgot to mention. Every 3 days I send out emails.
I was going to ask you the frequency. So 3 days. And what happens after the first 6 or 7? What happens to the sequence?
That's really open-ended. Like, that can, you can keep adding to the sequence, which is probably what I would do. So you might write to the first 7 emails, and then, you know, every week just write 2 or 3 more emails. Because if you think about it, it's a bit like a blog or a website like that. Except that when people go to a blog, they see the latest 2 or 3 articles that are on the homepage or in that category. Whereas in an autoresponder, people see every single, or like assuming that they open them, which is not going to open every single one, but they effectively get every post that you've written. So you can be more confident about what they've seen and what they haven't seen and where their kind of positioning is at. And that. So yeah, you could add more emails to it. You can do broadcasts, which is where you send one-off emails about, could be a time-sensitive offer. It could be, you know, an update or anything like that.
Nice. What is the most effective email you've ever sent?
The most effective. In what way? Like, just.
Well, which one gets the most amazing results? So I can think of one that I'd sent that had an amazing result. That, like, it just generated sales like a cash machine, and it was a short email, and it was somewhere in my autoresponder sequence. So I think I had about 50 or 60 queued up, and it was the subject line was something along the lines of, when I first used this, I immediately thought it should be banned. And then I went into the body of it was something like, I'm not a big fan of software like this because I believe it gives people an unfair advantage, and I thought it would probably be best if no one could use it. But then after I started using it, the results were just impossible to ignore. And now I use it for myself. And then I linked off to some software that I reviewed, and I sold a lot of that software. So that was a really good email. And so sometimes you just make one that works really well. So that one always outperformed the other ones. Do you have one like that you could share with us?
I was actually thinking something different. Like, I have an email that I send out, the very first email on the list, and the subject line is, welcome, I stole this from Clay Collins. It says, welcome to the family, please read, in brackets. And then there's two questions in it. So it says, hi, you know, welcome, welcome to the newsletter or whatever, you know, whatever you call it. And there's two questions. It's, you know, what is your biggest, most painful, so what is your goal? What's your ideal transformation, basically? Like, what are you trying to achieve? And what's your biggest fear about that? And it's amazing the responses you get from people. Like, you get the most personal data on, you know, what they care about, what their, you know, what their problems are, what they need help with. It's, I actually think that that's extremely valuable stuff. That's been one of the most helpful emails or valuable emails that I've written.
Yeah, I've got like a little Swiss Army knife of or a suite of emails that we set up for every new subscription, which is certainly a welcome email. And the most important one, I think, is when someone unsubscribes, it automatically sends somebody, hey, John, oops, it looks like your subscription just stopped. Hopefully it was just an accident. If it was, you can rejoin here. But if it wasn't, I'd love it if you could hit reply and let me know why you're leaving. And a lot of the time we can actually repair that subscription. And if we can't, we can then go and make training to prevent that loss in the future from another person in the same situation. So those little catch-alls are essential, and they've definitely helped my business grow. And they are autoresponders that are pre-written and they're ready to go out at a certain trigger point. All right, so we're going to wrap up in a sec, and I think you've been really generous giving us an overview of how we might go about it, what we might do, and you know how often to schedule it, what format to use. The focus, of course, the big takeaway is to focus on solving the problem rather than all the tech stuff. If you can't do this yourself, then you can hire people like John, dropdeadcopy.com, and John will write these for you if you don't want to do it yourself. John, I want you to give us the big takeaway for today's session. What's a golden nugget of advice that someone could implement and get a great amount of value for spending the time listening to us today?
I would list the three biggest problems that the target has, and then I'd write three emails as fast as possible so you don't have time to edit them, and about how to solve those problems. That's and that'll get the momentum going.
Right. So we'll call this like a three email challenge. So I challenge you, the listener, to implement this and to come back and post on Internet Marketing Speed what you've done and what results you got, and inspire other listeners. You know, there'll be thousands of people listening to this, so I expect quite a few responses. Let's do the three email challenge and see what we get. And John McIntyre, I just want to say thank you so much for educating us with this autoresponder information. It's been valuable.
It's been great to be here. Thanks for having me. Discover how to build your business super fast. Check out superfastbusiness.com.